What about payola back in those days? How close were you to it, or did you observe it? What was your experience with payola?
I never really had an experience with payola, especially in my recording. Well, I didn't have nothing to pay them in the first place. And Decca wasn't into that realm from the countryside that I know of. The only thing I remember about payola happened at KVOO Radio in, I believe it's 71, 72, maybe early 72. A gentleman came through from somewhere in Colorado, Fountain, Colorado, I think. He had a new artist with him. Good singer and a good record, 45 RPM record back in those days. He came in. Before we went on the air, he handed me an envelope. And the envelope was full. I don't know. I couldn't tell you if it was $1 bills, $10 bills, $100 bills, or whatever. But he handed me this envelope and said, "I appreciate you helping us out." And this was at KVOO, and I told Jack Cressy about it, too. He handed it to me, and I immediately handed it back to him and said, "I can't do this." That's one of my proud moments in radio. I handed it back to him and said, "You don't need to do this here at all." And I played the record, interviewed the guy on the all-night show, and they went on about their business. But that's the only time I can remember that I was involved with anything that had anything to do with even the handling of payola.
Well, that was a perfect example. For those who are listening and don't know what that term meant, that was exactly it. A new artist would come through town, and then they'd pay you to play them. It wasn't because they were the most popular or they had the most popular song. They were trying to get exposure.
That's exactly right.
And, of course, then eventually that just blew up and became a scandal in the business and obviously did away
with
it.
In certain parts of the country, it was really a scandal, you know, in New York and Detroit especially, you know. But, no, I never had to pay anything to get a record played at all. And like I say, I didn't have anything to pay.
Well, would you make calls on radio stations and say, "I'm a singer and I have a song I'd like for you to play"?
Yes. I used to do. In fact, Decca Records promotion people would give me a list of people to call. Say, "I thank you for playing the record," or "I appreciate it if you get it on the charts." And that was back when they played 100 records back in those days, you know, so I could squeeze in there. Nowadays, in the year of 2013, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Those were good years. Did you open all the time, those 3 years you were with Ernest Tubbs?
Yes.
You were the opening act.
Yes.
So you did the personality and sang and the whole bit, and you enjoyed it.
Some of the shows I'd do 45 minutes with the band and I, depending on some of the shows, the big package shows, like we work with Johnny Cash or with the Stoneman family or with some of the artists, Stonewall Jackson, whatever, some of the artists we'd work with, I'd just go out and open. I'd do a couple of songs and then the band would do one and we'd bring on E.T. If we were working a club, I'd work about 45 minutes, then we'd bring E.T. on, then we'd take a break, then I'd come back and work another 45 minutes with the band.
Johnny Cash, you mentioned, at that time, he was a young Johnny Cash, obviously.
Yes.
Was he just becoming known?
He was already known. He had already been through the Memphis thing, you know, and already been an artist in the business and getting lots of play everywhere. So Johnny was actually a star act. But one thing about Johnny, we'd work a show with Johnny Cash, and because of E.T.'s length of time in the business and his popularity and everything, Johnny is one that would, maybe he was supposed to close the show, and I know of a couple of times, Johnny would tell the promoter, "E.T. closes the show. I'm not closing the show." And when he was really a stature in the business to be the one to close the show, the biggest act, he would respect Ernest and would not close the show. He'd let E.T. close the show. That's back when there was a lot of respect in the business by a lot of people.
Remember what song Johnny would have had? He had a hit then by that time.
Well, yeah, he'd had a number of hits by that time. And of course, he and June Carter were married at the time. Mm-hmm. And the Statler brothers were working shows with him. So he was heavy in the business then. And I'm trying to think of particular songs, but he was big in the business.
I'll
already.
Walk the Line?
I'll Walk the Line had already been a hit, okay. Even previous years, yeah.
So then he appeared with Ernest Tubb?
Yeah, on package shows.
Okay.
Say they would book a package show in Canada or Oklahoma or wherever, you know, and he just happened to be on the shows with them.
Nice person to be around?
I never did know Johnny that well, even being there, and I never did really get acquainted with him. Of course, he and Ernest were very good friends. You know, some people you really connect with, some people you don't. It isn't that I didn't connect with him or he didn't connect with me. I just didn't infringe on the territory, you know.
Mm-hmm. While you were performing with Ernest Tubb, some of these bars would have put up chicken wire. Tell us why.
There was one particular bar, let's say club in Texas, a dance club, and on a Saturday night they get pretty tough. And there's one particular place, there was a stage on the floor, and then there was a second stage, like upstairs. The stages had not barbed wire, but heavy wire around them because of the fact the people get loaded. And if you don't play the song they liked or whatever, they throw beer bottles up the stage. Now, that didn't happen to us, per se, but that's why the wire was up there. They never threw any at Ernest that I know of when I was with him, but it was there because of the fact that if they wasn't happy with the way things are going, or they get fighting or something, so the band was protected with that wire up there.
Was it with Ernest Tubb that you played those Louisiana clubs?
Yes.
Tell us about them, because I think they were pretty rough.
Well, I worked Cut Off Louisiana, and I worked the Stagecoach Inn in Houma, Louisiana, and I can remember, I could use a lot of examples in Louisiana, but this particular one, E.T. told us before we went on this first time I'd played there in Houma, Louisiana, he said, "The guys, I'll tell you something," in other words, he knew, he'd been there. He'd been a lot of places, and he said, "If they start fighting, start arguing, just keep on playing. Don't quit singing and don't quit picking. Just keep on playing," which is logical, you know. You sure don't want to join the fight. And in Houma, sure enough, they did. There was an upstairs and a downstairs, and there was tables everywhere, and they started a good fight. Upstairs throwing chairs and downstairs, and everybody gets involved. And I'll never forget, I was singing, man, I kept on. I might have missed a few bars, and I might have got bent out of tune, but we kept playing right on through the fight. And if I'm not mistaken, on that particular night, we quit early. That was Houma, Louisiana, Stagecoach. I'll never forget it. And Cut Off, Louisiana, I'll never forget. It was a nice place. I mean, good place, a club. And the young, they bring their kids. And I'm talking about young kids. You'd look out there, and there'd be a kid out there maybe 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, drinking beer. I mean, getting that beer down. I learned a lot from E.T. and being on the road with him, but that's a true, true story. I was there and saw it.
The world's largest dance, was that down there?
That was in Houston. We played that 2 years in a row. I don't remember the exact years, but we played it 2 years in a row. 1 year, we played it, okay, Ernest Tubb and the Troubadours and Hank Thompson and the Brazos Valley Boys. The stage was kind of high where you could see out over the thing, and there was 20,000 plus people in the Astro Hall. There's the Astro Dome, then there's the Astro Hall. It was the Astro Hall. We'd play that thing, and we'd do the same thing. I'd go and do 45 minutes, then Ernest to come up. And you could look out over the crowd and see the fist fights. Usually it was an hour into the gig, and you could see the fists slinging, and you could see the women fighting. I mean, I don't know what they're fighting about. We just kept playing. The 2 times that I played there, which was a couple of years in a row. I think 1 year we worked it with Conway Twitty, the same hall, Astro Hall. And the same thing, you get that many people together and they get to drink and somebody's going to be slinging a bottle or a fist or something. So I remember some good times. I didn't get involved. I was kind of a coward. I stayed right on the stage.
So how many people, how many thousands of people would have been?
Oh, there? I'd say 20,000 plus.
Wow.
The huge Astro Hall. Now, I don't know an exact figure, but it was big. It was the biggest dance that I ever played. Of course, I never drew that many, but they did. And Texas is dance country. They dance, and they still dance in Texas. But, I mean, it was country music country, and they would come out, whether you were working in an auditorium or whether you were working a dance hall or the Astro Hall, they come out in abundance.